we'd like to welcome our second U.S. amateur, and only by timing, finalist of the U.S. amateur, Derek Bard, who is a 3-2 winner over Kenta Konishi of Japan. And you won the first hole with a birdie and never trailed. Probably a good way to start, and tell us how you, what do you think were the key moments in the match?
Yeah, well, never trailed, first thing. I mean, that's, I've trailed in every match leading up to this until this one. So that was the goal coming in, get off to a little better start. Birdied one, which was great, and then kind of rode in from there. One of the key points of the match definitely was number 12. He got it back to all square. He won 10-11, and 12, we both missed the fairway. He was on the right side and plugged it in the lip of the bunker, so I had a tough shot. I just had to get it up there on the green and hit a great shot in there about 15 feet pin high, and it forced him to get up and down from impossible spot, and he made bogey. I two-putted, and from there I kind of rolled in.
Questions, please. Use the mic. Tim,
Derek, you knocked off number one in the world yesterday. You play the NCAA champion tomorrow. Are you the favorite or the underdog?
I'm the underdog.
Why?
Why? I mean, Bryson, he's had an incredible career so far. Like you said, NCAA individual champion, so many other things that I probably don't even know about. He's obviously very smart with, I think, physics is his major, so... He's just a good all around player. It's going to be tough. It really is. I was talking to some of my friends and my dad earlier, and I just said, yeah, I'm gonna have to play my best golf to have a chance tomorrow, because he's been playing very solid leading up to this point, and I'm just gonna have one of those days where everything falls the right way for me.
I believe you were roommates with Denny McCarthy. He was asked in the semifinals last year. How much did he talk to you before this match and throughout this whole week?
Yeah, well, he was here, I believe, in the loss in the round of 32, unfortunately. But me and him have a very close relationship. I look up to him as a brother, kind of. I don't have an older brother, so I look up to him as, like, the older brother I never had. He's a great guy, and he's... definitely helped me in the 2 years we had at Virginia to become a player like I am today. Things on and off the course he's taught me. So he's someone I look up to, and I'm sure he's going to have a very successful professional career. And hopefully he makes the Walker Cup team too.
Yeah, what are those things on and off the course they taught you? I believe you said, like, kind of course management was one thing.
Course management, yeah, absolutely. One of the main things that he does better than anyone I've ever seen is when he doesn't have his best stuff on a random day, he'll still get the ball around, find the hole, and post a good number. So that's the thing, is playing good golf when you're not playing that well. And that's something that I've tried to work on the last few years, and he's a master at it. It's really incredible.
Do you have that bulldog in you? That Denny has? Denny's kind of a bulldog. So
yeah.
Do you have that in you?
He's pretty competitive. Yeah, I feel like I do. I feel like I fly a little more under the radar than he does. He's a bigger name than me, obviously. He might show a little more emotion than I do, but it's definitely there. Deep down inside of me, I just decided not to show as much of it compared to him.
Just as a follow-up to that,
yeah.
Your tee shot on 16 was probably not what you really wanted to do, but you followed it up with a great iron shot.
Yeah, I was three up, three to go, and that tee shot has been killing me all week. I haven't had a good one there yet. So I figured, I think the hole's 450 yards, so I figured if I can just hit a solid 3-iron out there, I should have, 6-5-iron coming in and kind of like chunk-sliced one down there and found the fairway, which was fine. So I knew if I could just get it on the green, virtually near the hole, I'd have a good shot at closing it out right there. And just got a good number with a 3-iron and had a nice uphill lie to get the ball in the air a little bit. And I flagged it. I went right at it, and it was one of the best shots of my life.
What's Coach Sargent meant to your career since you got to school?
Yeah, he's huge. I was in a bad spot coming into UVA. I was playing the worst golf of my life. I was lost, and I got in and worked with him right away. We started working on my swing, and the changes were hard at first, but they kicked in about a month and a half after we started. And I remember I finally broke through in the lineup that third event in that fall, and never left the lineup since. So he's been huge golf-wise, helping me in all aspects of my game. And he's also a very smart guy. Mentally, he's very strong mentally. And another thing that he's helped me with is he's taught me how important practice rounds are. We practice rounds as a team. Sometimes they get a little too long for my liking, but he takes so many notes, and just the courses that we play as a team, he knows them by hand. I mean, that's what he does for a living, and so he's just one of the smartest guys I've ever met.
When you were lost, how specifically did he put you back on the right path?
Yeah, no, it was just all with my swing. I mean, I didn't really have a swing coach coming in, so I kind of figured that I would start working with him right away. And he, I mean, you know, right when I got there, he saw some things in my swing that needed changing, and started from setup, and then it went to plane, and then it went to the shot shape of my shots that I hit. So, you know, he's really been huge. And the fact that we made a few different changes, and all those changes I started seeing improvements only a month later. I mean, that's pretty phenomenal. I can't believe it happened that quickly. And it's kind of just built from there.
You'll be in the Masters next year, most likely. You've ever been to Augusta?
No.
Dreamed of it?
Yes. Yeah, it's I told Holly, actually. You know, it's been my dream. It's been my dream as a little kid playing golf to play in the Masters and be a professional player. I didn't think I'd be playing the Masters when I'm 20 years old. I mean, it's definitely come a little earlier than I thought it would, if it ever did. But, yeah, there's no problem with that, though. I can't wait. It hasn't sunk in yet. So far it's all been kind of dreamlike for me here. But I'm sure once I look back and reflect on all this, I'll realize that I'll be teeing it up with the best names in golf at Augusta in April.
You said when you came to college, when your swing was lost, did you feel like you were losing your fire for the game at all, or what was the case?
I never lost my fire for the game. I still, with hitting it like that, I still managed to, you know, kind of scrape it around and, you know, have some good days, and then I would have awful days. But I never lost my fire for the game. That's one of the things that, you know, I'm very motivated. Little things motivate me, and that's really helped me this week.
You're in a place that you've not been before, and that must be pretty special for you.
Absolutely. This is the first time, obviously, in 9 USG amateur tries, and it's something that I've been looking forward to for a long time, and I'm finally able to do it. And to be here with the best players in the world that have played here and won here is pretty incredible. You know, Bobby Jones, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, and a couple others. It's incredible. I'm so honored and appreciative of the USGA and what they've done this week and in past championships as well.
Okay, raise your hand for a question, and we'll Tim right here.
You're obviously a guy who's a little aware of history. You could be the fifth person to win the NCAA and the USAM in the same year, and you know who the other four are, I fancy. What do you think of that? The notion of that happening tomorrow?
I haven't even thought about that yet. I know that there has been 5. I don't know. I can't remember exactly. I know Phil Mickelson has done it. Tiger Woods, I think, did it. Jack and Tiger, yeah. To be in that group of players would be incredible. Still got to go out and do some work tomorrow. Still got 36 more holes to play. But again, I'm looking forward to the challenge and hopefully rise to the challenge and do my best.
Right here.
Coming off of the NCAAs in April, you know, how does an event like this compare to the pressure that you felt back then? Is it very similar, contrast, and then course setup as well? Do you find that there's some similarities there as well?
Well, I'd say that at Concession Club, you had to be a great driver of the golf ball. And out here, it's the same thing. You've got to be able to hit it in the fairway and hit your greens. Make a couple putts. It's just like any golf course. It's more penalizing out here when you don't hit the fairway. And it's even more penalizing, actually, at Concession Club. You had to hit every fairway or else you'd be in the Palmettos or whatnot. But then the pressure, as it relates to here, it's going to probably be about the same. I've got to admit, it'll be a fun battle tomorrow. And if I can stay in the moment and do my best in every single situation, I'll do just fine.
Yeah, on today's match... just a brief period early on where you were not in control. I mean, you know, you had things pretty much your way most of the day. How did you get over that and take command?
Well, again, like I've said before, I'm just going to try and play my game. And on average, I think that my game was a little bit better than his. And I didn't worry about the hiccups on 5 and 6. Yeah, I hit a bad tee shot, but that's going to happen. That's golf. And I didn't worry about that. I went forward, played 7 nicely, almost made birdie. And then 8, I made a great par. And 9, I also made a great par. And making par on those two holes is very difficult. And that actually flipped the momentum again my way.
Jeff, please, first of all, Roy.
You say you've come to learn in match play that you do pay attention to your opponent. So you're playing an emotional guy today that gets fired up out there. How important was it to stay on top and not really let him get too fired up?
Well, when you got an emotional guy like that, personally, I think walking ahead of him and making him feel like he's behind me, it gives a perspective change. I think for him, and he knew it. He knew that he was behind and he needed to keep pressing and hitting good shots because I wasn't going to let down. And ultimately, it got to him. And on 13, missed a tee shot. 14, didn't hit that great of a tee shot. And that was the match.
Could you just, I think at 11, he cut it down to where you were only one up. But then I was going to say, it seemed like you just played your game, turned it up a little bit. Could you talk about that change there where you kind of went on that run from 12 to 14 there to really take control?
So on 12, that was a huge second shot to stuff it in there to 6 feet. I knew that he was most likely going to get up and down, even though it was a ridiculously hard shot. And he did hit a great shot to a foot and gave it to him. And I had a 6-footer, and I threw it right in the heart. You know, it was kind of the same feeling as 15 yesterday with Paul Dunn. He made a 30-footer on me, and I had a 6-foot slider again, and I drained it. I made it right on top of him. So that shows a change, at least from my perspective, of that I'm not worried about anybody else. I'm focused on my own game. I'm just going to make my shots. I had a 42 degree, which is a 9-iron.
And on a little more lighter note, obviously in a similar position today off a 6-tee, any side effects from poison ivy from yesterday?
Yeah. No, I was lucky enough not to touch the poison ivy, and today it was a little deeper into the hazard, so I had to take a penalty shot and did my best to make par there, but unfortunately didn't cut it enough. It was out of the rough, and he had a great bunker shot up there to 5 feet and made it.
Bryson, was there a certain point in the season where you kind of felt like things were coming together? Maybe before the NCAA, was it as far back as maybe when you shot 61 in Japan and at the World Amateur? What was a place where you kind of felt where this could be a pretty good run for me? Okay, we'd like to welcome Sean Crocker. Who was defeated by Bryson DeChambeau 4 and 3. And Sean, I guess you're short of your goal, but tell us what your week experience here at the U.S. Amateur was, making it to the semifinals, and what that means to your career.
It was a lot of fun. Like, I can't complain. I played great this whole week, hit a lot of good shots, and had a couple bad ones, but got really far in the tournament. And you guys, the USGA, you ran the tournament great, and had a lot of support out there, which means a lot to me. Obviously, I didn't perform today exactly how I wanted to and didn't win my match, but Bryson's one heck of a competitor, and I hope he goes out there and wins it tomorrow, or he has a great match tomorrow with the person he's playing. But he's a heck of a player, and he deserves to go as far as he did and keep on going.
Well, you are too, so we're going to go to some questions. Len?
What did you feel? Can you cite a turning point in that one where things kind of... You felt things were... You came back from 2 down, mm-hmm. Got back into it.
Yeah, I would say probably when I got back to even and then I gave him 8 and 9 back. I knew everyone knows he's a great player, so to go into the back 9, which is pretty much where match play really starts, is the back 9 of the round, to go into that 2 down, and I ended up making a birdie on 11 to go back to 1 down, which I thought I was like, okay, let's go. And then he made a great birdie on 12. And it's tough to come back from 2 down against a player like that. And then obviously the next hole, I gave that away. So 3 down with 5 to play or something like that, that's pretty tough with somebody like that.
Go ahead, Roy.
Sean, you made a big putt on the backside. I was going to say maybe I thought it was 12. You made the putt there to get it back to 1. On the hole with the elevated green there.
Yeah, I think that 11 was the hole I birdied on him, I think. to get back. The dog leg right was the one when I made that pretty big
the
putt.
The one that goes down right. The hill and then it goes back up to the elevated green.
No, I hit a wedge shot, like a chip shot in that hole, like gimme range, and he made birdie still, so I lost that hole. It was the 11th hole where I made a pretty big putt to go back to one down, but gave it right back the next hole, so it didn't really mean much.
Back to eight, if we could. He was way over on the left. You were way over on the right, had an awful stance. That's the first of those two in a row that you bogeyed. Was something in your swing today, or did it just...
My driver just kind of let me down this week. It usually doesn't. That's usually the best part of my whole game. I hit some really good drives today. I just kind of got a little wayward. I think maybe being such a long week, I probably got a little tired and wasn't able to hit the ball as hard as I would like to and keep up with it. But it's a learning experience from there, and got to get fitter and stronger so I can last longer.
Rory, go ahead. I'll ask you this. After you left us yesterday, you said you were going to go to the range and see what you could do to square up your driver. Did you find something?
Yeah, it was just alignment, and I was hitting the ball perfectly, and I honestly drove the ball really well today, other than like three or four holes, which put me in trouble. Well, not like little trouble. It was a bad drive to where it made me really struggle to make par, and Bryson, on those holes where I missed the fairway, Bryson was in the fairway. So he was going to make par or birdie, and for me to have to try and scramble and make a par when it didn't happen, he's going to win the hole.
And as a guy who's only played golf since he's 13 years old, this experience probably more of a learning experience than anything else for you, I would expect?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously learned a lot. I still believe that even though I haven't been playing as long as some of these guys, I still could have gone out there and defeated Bryson if I had my best game and hit the shots I wanted to, but that's golf. You're not always going to come out there and perform the way you want to. And I'm still very happy with the way I did and how far I got.
Go ahead, Roy.
Sean, do you just foresee yourself going back and then playing this year at USC and then playing summer tournaments again and maybe taking the U.S. Amateur another shot next year?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going back to school. I think school starts Monday, so get back home, pack up, and go move in. But, yeah, I'm definitely going to be out there, and I'll be back next year and hopefully can do a little bit better.